Good morning. Welcome back to Ian. Help us to be able to just really understand your word. Help us to just encounter you today. In your name we pray, amen. Today we're going to read from John 20, verse 19 through 29. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nails marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So when I was reading this passage yesterday, and I was just meditating on last week being Holy Week, there's a few things that kind of came out to me, and I was able to read a few different articles that had different perspectives than normally taught for Easter. And the first one that I thought was quite impactful was the idea of the whole week, and if we were to shift our focus from the cross to the day before the cross, to that table, to the table that Jesus was sitting at with his disciples, the day he would be betrayed. And if we were to look at the whole week from that perspective, how would that make us understand what Jesus did for us? Right? And that Thursday in the Christian church is called Maundy Thursday. When I was little, I thought it was Monday Thursday, and it was very confusing to me. But it's Maundy Thursday, and it's that idea of the last Passover. And the church I grew up in, that Thursday, and a lot of churches do that, would gather and do a meal together, right? It would be a hybrid of a Passover meal. Not exactly the traditional Passover meal, but a hybrid of it. And if we were to stop and think of Easter from that perspective, Jesus at that table, that last time of the old covenant, that last time where he sits and he blesses his friends, knowing that this would be the end of that covenant. It was the last time they're celebrating the Passover lamb from Egypt, moving into a new Passover lamb that is Jesus, right? And that is what the cross does for us, but they're at this table. So what if that story starts on Thursday? The Last Supper is the final meal of the age. That is the age of injustice, oppression, debt, and sin, and the first feast of the age to come, the age of God's reign of peace and justice. It's a symbol of we are passing over from the rule of the Caesar, of the rule of man, to being the children of God, from the bondage of slavery to the freedom of serving others. The table is set for the new world, and we are grateful. With grateful prayers, our exodus is at his hand. And I just thought, in that little bit I just read came from one of the articles I read. But if you really stop and think about it, how beautiful it is that Jesus spent his final meal, his final time with his disciples. And yet, where does he return to them? Where does he go when he returns to his disciples? To that very room. to that very same room that he had just had that meal with them a few days prior is where Jesus goes. It's also the place the disciples fled to. If you think about it, right, we think about the disciples, they were so fearful, they ran away, right? And we kind of get this almost a negative feeling. And to be fair, they did run, right? They didn't stay. Peter did deny Jesus. But where did they run? To that last place of happiness with Jesus. That last place where they had really experienced Jesus being alive before he was arrested, before he went through, you know, the beatings, before his death. They ran to the same place they shared that feast. They went to that table of peace and gratitude, that table where they were able to have that last laughter and that last moment with him. You know, if you really think about it, in our difficult times, when we're struggling, even when we're struggling with Jesus, where do we run to? Where's that place we go? Is it to the place we had our last encounter with him? Maybe not physically, right? Or do we run to Netflix? Or do we run to running? Or to playing basketball? Or to, you know, whatever it is you do? And I'm not saying those things are bad, but here we see the disciples running to the place they last experienced Jesus. And I think that to me was one of the things that kind of, when I was reading these different articles this week and meditating, I was like, I never saw it that way. I never heard it that way. Or maybe I did and I don't remember. It's possible that someone preached on it and I don't remember it. But they ran to the place they had encountered Jesus last. The next topic is doubting Thomas, right? And he also gets really cast into this negative light of being a doubter, right? And I think there is some truth to that. But I think what we can learn from Thomas's doubting is we can have doubts. We can have fears, right? We can wonder what's happening. But what we see and learn is that Jesus showed up to Thomas even when he had questions, even when he wanted a promise, he wanted that sign. Jesus showed up. Why did he doubt? Because he didn't experience it. He didn't get to experience the moment of God. He didn't get to experience that moment of Jesus coming and saying peace. He didn't get that moment of understanding. You know, I think about our lives, right? We can look so down on Thomas, but do we look at ourselves in the areas that we doubt God, that we fear God, that the outcomes of what's happening? And I know that in the verse it says, then Jesus told him in verse 29, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know, that's not actually a put down on Thomas. I think oftentimes when we read it, it's like, oh, shame on you. But actually, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who believed and hadn't seen. But his disciples had all seen. I mean, think about that one for a moment. Every one of his disciples got to experience seeing Jesus' resurrected body. Every one of them. Don't get lost in that moment. The women at the garden, they got to experience seeing Jesus. I think this is Jesus foretelling the future. Blessed are those who don't get to have this experience of physically seeing me, and yet they still believe. Not shame on you for all those who needed to see to believe. Right? Even when the women went to the men, they didn't initially be like, oh, it's true. Like, they went to see it. Jesus came to them. There's kind of a mixture of reactions there. But every disciple got to see his resurrected body, well, except for Judas. Right? They all saw him. And so I think we need to be very careful when we read this to understand that Thomas is not being put down. Thomas is not being put down for his lack of belief. I personally believe it's a foretelling of the blessing for us today who do not physically get to see Jesus. Right? We get to see that Jesus sought Thomas out. Jesus came to find him. You know, some of you might be wondering, I have friends who don't believe, I have family who don't believe, what do I do? Well, maybe it's not about what you do. Maybe it's about praying, truly praying for them to experience God. The experiences of faith are very important for our development, very important for our understanding of God. If we continually just expect people to believe because we preach at them, because we sometimes yell at them, because we keep telling them the truths of Scripture, which is good. We should tell them the truths of Scripture. But if people don't, if we don't experience God for ourselves, it's very difficult to have that true foundation of faith. You know, P. Sam says it often, you can't argue with someone's personal experience, right? What you've gone through, someone might not believe you, but they can't really tell you that you are wrong. You know, I was remembering in 10th grade, because I went to a Christian school, we had to preach a sermon. That's part of our curriculum. Every one of us had to write a five, 10-minute sermon. And so there's about 30 of us in a class. And so for about 2 or 3 weeks, we just listened to sermons from each other. And we set it up like a church. And our because we are Dutch and Dutch people like peppermints at church, or we did then, we got to have peppermints during class. And we experienced the whole thing. And one of the promises our teacher, Mr. Grassmeyer, made was he would not interrupt any of us. Even if we were theologically wrong, he wouldn't interrupt us till we were done. Yet, I told a story that he interrupted me on because he just couldn't believe it, right? And the story is, my sister, when she was 2, she almost died from drowning, right? Me and my brother were jumping off this walkway into the water, into our dad's arms, and my dad was catching us, and my little sister didn't make sure my dad knew. My dad didn't know she had come out into the water to do the jumping, and so she jumped into the water, and she basically almost died. And so for about 2 or 3 weeks, she didn't talk. She didn't talk for like 2 or 3 weeks. And for some, just before, like 2 weeks before my sister was born, my mom's mom, my Oma, died. And so I think through that, my mom just couldn't handle it, and she put away all the pictures. And so my sister had really never seen a picture of my Oma. But for some reason, one day my mom decided to put a picture of her out. She decided it was time to put the picture back out. And when my sister saw the picture, her first words were, "That's Oma, and she was with Jesus, and Jesus said it wasn't my time." Or something to that words. It's an experience that you can't tell my sister it didn't happen. And to this day, she remembers it so clearly. And she doesn't have a great memory. And so the fact that her memory has stayed the same since she was 2 on this situation, it's an experience. God met her. Now, obviously, I hope none of us have to go through that kind of experience to meet Jesus. But we should be praying for people who are struggling, praying for ourselves to really encounter and to experience God, right? Our faith can grow from that. And the last thing that really stood out to me was that Jesus' marks of crucifixion were still on him. Have you ever thought about that? The marks were still on his body. You know, when we talk about the new heaven and the new earth, we talk about us having a new body, a perfected body, no more sickness, no more illness. And here's Jesus' resurrected body, and the places where the nails were put are still there. They're still there. And I was thinking about why? Why? Think about it. The marks of his pain and suffering are still on him. It's a reminder that Jesus does know. Jesus does understand. Jesus can empathize with our pain and our suffering. Jesus isn't a foreign God who is far off and distant and doesn't understand what we're going through. And also, we have marks on us, though maybe not physically. Some of us do have physical marks from abuse or things that we've done to ourselves, and there are physical scars left upon our body. But most of us don't have physical scars on our body from the sins that we've committed or the sins committed to us, against us. But we still have those marks. But it doesn't mean we aren't freed. It doesn't mean we're not restored. It doesn't mean that we are not capable of being whole people. Though we may still carry the marks, though we may still walk with some anxiety or some issues that have come from the past, as believers, we know even though we are still here on earth, we can be free. And those marks don't stop us from being who God has called us to be. I was watching, I don't remember what TV show, but in the TV show, there was a girl who had been victimized, and she was talking to somebody else who'd been victimized. And something that struck me was in this dialogue that they're going back and forth, the older person said to the younger girl who'd been victimized, "This is just one page in the book of your life of many pages yet to come. The things that have happened to us impact our story, but they're not the complete story." And so when we think about Jesus and we think of those marks of the crucifixion, we can remember that he understands us. And we can remember that we can hold on to the marks we have. I mean, hopefully we're letting go to God, but they still are there. It doesn't mean we are not restored. It doesn't mean we're not whole. We're in a journey and a process of completion, and we're still waiting until we get to our resurrected bodies. We're not quite there yet. And so as we take a moment to reflect, I want you just to think about the three ideas here. Mainly actually the last two. Do you have any doubts? Do you have any things that you are struggling to believe in your faith with God? Ask God to come and encounter you. Ask God to come and experience that with you, to show up. And if you're struggling with the things of the past, those hurts, those pains, those things that you thought have kept you from the freedom of Jesus, ask God to heal you. Ask God to show you up. And just ask God to really tender your heart to him. So let's just spend some time in worship. Let's spend some time in prayer. Let's really just allow God to encounter us. Let's encounter him this morning. Thank you. as we were worshiping, I just really felt God was reminding me that in that same passage, the first words he said to his disciples and to Thomas was, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And I feel like God's saying, "Peace be with you today. Peace be to us today. Peace be to me today." That blessing of peace that we can only get because of him. Because of the cross, we are able to sit at that table with him, that we get to be set free. So God, I just thank you that we can be set free, Lord, that because of you, because of the cross, because of Easter, we can sit at that table with you. God, that we can come to that table, this new covenant, and enjoy your presence, enjoy your peace, enjoy everything you have for us. And so, God, I just thank you that we get to experience you, that we can experience you as sons, as daughters, as your children. God, that we can walk in freedom, and we can walk in obedience, and we can walk in joy. And so, Lord, I just thank you, and we lift up this time to you. So as we go into a time of prayer, let's just spend a moment giving thanks to God for all that he's done for us. Let's give thanks to God that we can meet in person for EMP again, for church, that things are looking a little bit better right now. So let's just spend some time praising God. Prayer focus. Let's pray for all those who are fighting cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's lift up these people. Let's pray that they can experience God's healing power in their lives. Pray for those who are sick but also need salvation. Let's pray for God's spiritual healing. Let's pray that God really will speak to them and their hearts and minds will be open to him. Let's also pray for them to be healed. Pray for those in our community who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God to really just restore their bodies, but also let's just pray that they continue to hold on to him during this time. For those who are looking for jobs, let's just pray that God will be their provider in this season of waiting. Let's just pray that God will open the right doors at the right time, and the place that they can really just impact God's kingdom. Thank you. mission focus. Let's lift up SP Singapore, led by P. Sam Kim. Let's pray for Spin P. Salama and Spill P. Ernie. Let's really pray that God will just lead these groups, lead these congregations. Let's pray that they really feel God's love and guidance. Let's pray for their families as well, that God will protect them as they lead in ministry. Education ministries here at SP, SP Kids led by myself and Lisa, SP Youth Donald, and SPU P. Andrew. Let's really just pray that God will teach these kids His love, these students His truth. Let's pray that they will have foundations of faith that will last a lifetime and an eternity. For our healing, prayer and healing teams led by IP, led by Matt, The Well by Sarah, and River by Rachel. Let's just really pray for this to be a house of prayer and a house of healing, a place where people can be restored and to be set free. For our evening outreaches, SP Lights and Homie, let's just pray for their leaders. Let's pray for people that they are ministering to, whether they can minister to them in person or it's through prayer. Let's just really pray that, our people will be able to really just be a light in this city to the people who need to see and hear God. Finally, let's lift up our city. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for just restoration, peace, forgiveness. Let's pray for healing physically in the city and wisdom for our leaders as they navigate many decisions they make. So yeah, let's just pray for our city. We thank you that you invite us to your table. God, we thank you that you want us to be your sons and daughters, that you invite us in. God, we just pray as we go about our day today that we can just really be that light in this city that draws people to you. God, that people will see you through us. God, in a way that they wonder what's so different. God, and give us the boldness to share. God, we just thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, and I just bless every person here, every person listening, God, that their spirit will just encounter your peace, your love. God, that your spirits will be guided and directed by you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time and hope to see you here back tomorrow morning.